Once again, I want to say good morning. I am glad that we get this opportunity to worship together. As we were coming in this morning, one of my friends said, I saw you there Wednesday night in our Bible class. I saw something about you being in Arkansas this weekend, and here you are this morning. What's going on? So some of you may know that I had a dear friend who passed away about a week ago, and we were invited to be a part of the funeral service there in Oklahoma. And so we traveled out Thursday, got back yesterday afternoon. And I just wanted to let you know that while we are away, that there's something unique about this congregation. Even though it wasn't really broadcast specifically what we were doing, several of you were helping out with our two boys that were staying behind. Several of you were checking on us and following up. And I just really, really appreciate this. I'm so glad to be here this morning. As I look at the front cover of our bulletin, if you have that, you will see that a trunk or treat is scheduled for October 30th, Saturday evening. We are going to have a parking lot full of cars decorated. We're going to have baskets of candy. We're going to have chicken stew, and we'll set up some tables outside. Come and enjoy just an evening of fun and family and a fellowship. Invite your friends, invite your neighbors. This will be a great, safe place to be a part of this fall festival type of atmosphere. We need your help as well. And so there's a list inside the bulletin of things that we're making. Joe and Nick are going to be putting together that chicken stew. And so we need some help getting some of that stuff prepared. Please, please, please help us with that. We need some extra candy because I know that last year was not a Halloween or a trunk or treat like we had envisioned. And so this year probably is going to be even more. And so we just want to be ready on hand for that. And we need some cars, some decorations, some families, some people who are going to stand out there and just be welcoming. Think about how you might decorate your car or just make it an inviting place as kids go through our parking lot and become an opportunity to see that this church is alive. We do care about our community. I think it will be a great opportunity for us to connect and fellowship. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of our Wednesday nights. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock online in Zoom. We have a special class. We're also meeting here at the building at 7 for those that would like to be in person. We've got youth classes that are going on right now as well. And so things are starting to roll back towards what we kind of once knew them to be. And I really want to encourage you, whether you are able to come and be in person, please do that. Things are not fully set up, and so we don't have all of our classes and all the options available, but the more that come, the more that we start to see the opportunity to divide and conquer in different directions. Those that are online, please, let's make this an opportunity that we are going to invest in together. Our family is important, right? And time together has slipped away. Let's make it a priority to join together as much as we can, when we can. I'm not going to beat us up because we got full schedules or we need to be out of town or whatever. But because of technology, even if we are out of town, we're able to still stay connected. And when we are together, let's be together. Let's enjoy some time to be with one another, be in God's Word. I also want to let you know that a couple months ago, we made some changes in our youth ministry. And at that time, we have three different parent-led teams that are driving our youth ministry in the ways of spiritual, social, and service, helping our children and our families be able to get in together, to be getting into the Word and getting into our community. Just last week, they went to the fairgrounds. They were collecting all the canned goods that were being donated there at the front gate, making a wonderful service into our community. They've been meeting together, playing volleyball, Bible studies. Wonderful things are taking place, and we have been blessed with a good number of applicants, of individuals who are looking forward to maybe participating with a congregation like ours. And when they see who and what South Fork really is, they are encouraged to be a part of it. And our team has been working through some of those applications. I want to ask you to continue to pray for them as they make their decision. Last but not least, I want to let you know that Sherry Kretschmar, who is a missionary in Guatemala. She has been home for the last few weeks or months because of COVID. Guatemala has opened up their borders, and she was able to return last week. And so pray for her as she is transitioning back to her work with the medical missions through Health Talents International. I know that her work is much needed and much appreciated. Words of encouragement will help her in many, many ways. This morning, we are in Colossians chapter 2. And so if you would open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, I want us to dive into this study. And I want you to notice this one word that is significant, both in its meaning and in the number of times that Paul uses this word. It is a simple word, and you might just gloss right on over it because it's not very big. It's actually just two letters. It's I-N. In. I want us to see something real quick. Just listen to this quick overview list of the times that Paul uses this word. Depending on your translation, it's going to be 19 to about 23, 24 times that this word shows up in Colossians chapter 2 alone. But this in word is significant to our relationship, our interaction, our participation. In verse 2, there's going to be encouraged in heart. There's going to be united in love. They're in order to know the mystery, in whom, that's Christ, that the mystery is hidden. Verse 5, Paul is absent in body, but he's present in the Spirit. Verse 6, live in Him, Christ. Verse 7, we are strengthened in the faith. Verse 9, 10, following says, in Christ. Now listen to this. In Christ's significance, the fullness of deity, of God, dwells in Christ. In Christ, we dwell fully. Verse 10, in Christ, the circumcised from the rule of flesh, this rigidness that's going to hold us away from godly living. In Christ, we are buried in baptism. In Christ, we are raised with Him because of our faith in God, who first raised Jesus from the dead. Verse 12. We were dead in sins. The reality is found in Christ. Verse 17. That we are to avoid or discount those who delight in false humility. And this idea really penetrates into who we are as individuals and the direction that we should be living our life. I want to share with you a couple of things that are so significant about the end of what Paul is saying. As Paul writes to us, listen to what he says, starting with me in verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6, says, so then, just as you received Christ, Jesus your Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Let me see behind your mask the smiles that we have because we are in Christ and we have a joy. This is a blessing for us. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Verse 11, in Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were raised with Him through the faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us
all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, and he has taken it away. He has nailed it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Those verses just highlight the magnitude and the specific nature of God living in Christ and what that does to our lives. When we recognize that, there should be no way that believers cannot say or would withhold saying, amen, because God is alive and God is in us. Amen? And this is transforming who we once were. It is transforming us even to this day. And what we are is not fully all that we have been intended to be. As we think about this, I want to share with you some beautiful graphics that really illustrate this very nature of God. I spared no expense because it is so hard to really grasp this nature. This indwelling of God, the fullness of God is in us. God is in me. Think about that for just a moment. There is no worse receptacle holder for the nature of God. But right here, Paul says, he is in me. He is in you. We are not worthy of the very nature, but God is still in us. Amen? And that should change the way that we live. In fact, it has changed the way that we lived, because we know that the indwelling of God's Spirit, the beginning point of us recognizing God, started when he started to prick our heart, to change our mind, for us to see the unseen, to understand what was ununderstandable. God has been at work in our lives, and our eyes have become open, and our lives have been changed. The Holy Spirit is said to be our paraclete, our helper, our guide. He gives words to us. He enables us. That Christ's love is compelling us. That we love because he first loved us. This beginning point of our spiritual life, our new nature, starts when God first came to us, both in physical form in this world 2,000 years ago, but also into our heart, into our understanding, as maybe it was dark, it was clouded, it was misinformed, but we began to know who God really is. Christ said, I can do nothing apart from the Father. And the same is true for us as well. Our spiritual journey, our life, our success is nothing without the Father first working, without the deity first working, without the Son first coming, without the Spirit's involvement into our life. The indwelling of God's Spirit into our hearts should be this magnificent transformation of our understanding. And Paul writes and he says, this transformation of this big, undeterminable nature who lives in us should do something for us. It should help us to understand that we now are on the inside of God as well. This is the mystery, that Christ is in us, but we are also in Christ. We are said to be family, united and related now to the Son, co-heirs in this inheritance from God, a priesthood. We've been elevated to a place of position. We are a royal nation. Verse 10 says that we fully dwell in him. This is not some Venn diagram where two circles barely overlap. This is supposed to be that we are fully in Christ. The very nature of who Matt was, the very nature of who you were, is supposed to be transformed so that you are in Christ Jesus. The more that you know about who God is, the more that you should be drawn to him. And that draw, that magnetism, that that excitement should be changing our lives. We are being renewed. We are being made new. We are being transformed into his likeness. Listen to what also it says here in verses 10, 11, and 12. It says that we are dwelling fully in Christ, that we have been wrapped, that we have been clothed with Christ. We are buried with him in baptism. This is the beginning point of a full commitment that we want our lives. We are literally, spiritually, metaphorically dying to ourselves and being raised to be new, that our sins have been washed away, that the Holy Spirit now is taking over a reign and a rule of our lives. We have totally decided to be transformed. We are giving over to that. What he first did for us while we were still sinners, when he pricked our hearts, when Christ came to us, when we began to be aware of what was going on in the spiritual world. Now we are fully invested in this, and this is continuing to transform our lives. Not that we live perfectly or totally without sin or mistake. As we were talking about this morning in class, who is without the sin, throw the first stone. And as we look around this room, as you look even up here, there is none of us who is without sin, right? But in Christ, if we are in Christ, his blood continually cleanses us from all sin. Paul would say it this way: there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For through Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death has been put away because of the law of the Spirit. That Spirit now overrules all of our guidance and direction. And this is the blessing of who we really are. We have God living, indwelling in us. Oh, what a misery when believers act like we have no hope, we have no strength, we have no power, and we have no future. Woe is me that the world is going to hell in a handbasket and we can't do anything. That's not the God who lives in me. Amen? Because my God is alive and my God is at work. And when things seem the darkest, our eyes should be wide open, knowing that it is about to get bright, because God is not dead. He's living in me. And I choose to live in him fully. And the more and more that I recognize that there's a part of me who's living outside of Christ draws me closer to want to recognize and repent and change so that I can be more fully in Christ. And the third thing I want you to see is this involvement that really comes. Another beautiful graphic that fully illustrates this. I mean, you tell me the picture that shows how I can have God Almighty living in me that is not just some massive, overused caricature. This big dwelling in this little body. This little body fully living in him. And somehow now we are wrapped together. We are excited. We are involved. We are connected. We are active in Christ. The result of Christ in you and you in Christ is going to be involvement. It's going to be action. It is going to be coming to the place where we continually want to be changed. It is our two circles of life colliding together so that we are fully enveloped in one another. When I was a teenager, we'd go to camp and we'd sing this song. And I don't know if this is sung anymore or not, if you've ever heard this, but the lyrics are simple, and I won't mess up your ears by singing it to you. But listen to these words. To come into the presence of the Lord is to be changed. We cannot come into his presence and remain the same. So change me, Lord. Remake me, Lord. And mold me in the image of your Son. So change me, Lord. Remake me, Lord. Till Father, Son, and Spirit, we are one. I don't know about you,
But the more I see God at work, the more I want to see God at work. I believe that my God is alive because he's living in me. I believe that my God is powerful because he has changed my life. And I believe my God is powerful and he can make a difference in your world too. And if I shut up and if I sit down, I don't do any service to the thing in which I believe. The power that I think is so great that can transform this world, oftentimes I hold back as if I'm afraid of what other people might think if I'm going to bless them. If I'm going to help them, if their life is going to be changed like mine for the better. How ignorant and lost our thinking is when we pull our circles apart and we don't want to be involved in the very thing that God is doing. I want us to see the opposites that are happening here. This indwelling, this idea of Christ in us also means that we are incomplete. If Christ is not in us, we are not fully made to be all that we have been made to be. We are living incomplete. For those that are married, you know that there's a time when you have to go separate ways, when one is needing to be over here and you need to be over here, and you feel that absence of a spouse, a helper in your life, and it is incomplete. You know that when you're a part of a team, when one of the teammates is having to be away, they're sick or unable to make the game, your team is incomplete. If we are to be in Christ, if we are to have Christ in us, I should say, then we are incomplete without him. We should sense that something is missing. If we are inside of Christ, if we have been wrapped into who we are to be, if we have fully invested ourselves, then the opposite is if we don't have that wrap on, we are incognito. We are unseen as to who we really are. We are like, a few years ago, I got invited to a baby shower. Guys, have you ever been to a baby shower? You don't want to be there. You want to just slip into the corner and say, I don't know what's going on. I don't want to play these games. If we're not wrapped with Christ, we're in the world saying, I don't have the strength to help you. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this situation. We are in Christ, and we are fully known in Christ. Then we are lights to the world, but without it, we are like a lamp who is hidden, and we are dark, and we are disconnected from what we really have been called to do. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Let's live with that truth. The opposite of involved, this action that we are supposed to have, is that we are inactive. We're not involved. That we are missing out. Jesus says that where your treasure is, there your heart would be also, Matthew 6:21. That our involvement, our heart's desire, our treasure should be motivating and leading our lives. It should be helping us determine which activities we are going to be a part of and which activities we are not going to be a part of. Over the past few months, maybe COVID has helped you or hurt you as you've continued to race after your own treasures. Your own heart and desire has led you to a place of indulgence or laziness, or maybe it has helped you to see the urgency of life as so many of our friends and family have been taken from us. You've understood that there is no time to waste. As I got to say Friday, life is really but a vapor. We're here for a short time, and then we are gone. We know that there's a reward, and why do we hesitate even one more moment in sharing the reward that is before us? There's the old song in our songbooks that starts with this line, all of self and none of thee. it begins to paint a picture of how we once were as we looked at life, as we wanted to be in a world where everything revolved around ourselves, as we slowly began to understand and know Christ. It was just a little bit of Christ. And then it was some of self and then some of thee. And as we continue to grow in this song and in our lives and in our maturity, as our circles begin to merge, as we fully, more fully, rest in Christ, as Christ is in us, then it is none of self and all of thee. I want us to be people who are involved. Last week I spoke about going to a Kings game and watching the introduction. There's something about being at a game in which you are involved and you're connected with tens of thousands of fans who are excited about what's happening. But yet when we get together, we act like we're nonchalant. We don't care. Like this is just what should happen as we keep our emotions and our level at such a pace that maybe the outside world would not even notice that there's something exciting happening. I'm not saying we need fog machines and light beams, that we need all of this stuff to boom in a voice to get our attention. But there should be something about us that is so excited about being involved in the working of God in our world today that the world would notice that we have been transformed into something different. The last thing I want to say about this little word, in. Greater is he who is in me. Greater is he who is in me. This equation of inviting or having God come into my life, participating in it, or asking it and committing to being a part of in Christ, being fully baptized, following, wrapped, deciding, discipled, follower of Christ. Being involved in the decisions and the transformations that go on, sometimes we make it, again, still about me. But I want us to notice this truth. Greater is he who is in me. The weakness and the fear that somehow continues to plague our Christian world is not good biblical knowledge of the greatness of our Father and the Son and the Spirit. Our God is powerful. Our God is alive. And God is at work in our lives. Amen? And this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me end with this story. Dr. Jim Fay, he is the author and director of a program called Love and Logic. It helps people interact with one another and help bring people to an understanding of the consequences and results of their actions. For parents to kids, for administrators to students, even in other workplaces. And so he lives with this idea that when someone makes a mistake, you sit them down and you give them love, and then you teach them the logical consequences of what's taken place. As he was a principal of a school, he made this quick rule. He says, look, parents, you will not be coming to drop off lunches or homework or instruments anymore. We don't need this constant parade of parents coming into the office to drop off what the kids have forgotten. They will forget it once, they will have the consequence, and then they will learn how to get up and pay attention to what they need to bring to school. And sure enough, there was a little bit of a consequence, but overall, parents, students figured this out, and they were able to bring their stuff to school on time. Surprise, surprise. He starts to raise his own children, and he's going through this love and logic consequence and decision-making process. He has a young boy who's in high school, and he's beginning to make the choices of who's going to be his friend and who's not, how he's going to spend his time and where he's not. Now, this is a few years ago, and for some of the older crowd, this won't seem such a shock to you, but for the younger crowd, there was a time when we didn't carry cell phones. In fact, on almost every street corner, there was this device called a public phone. And for the large amount of a quarter, you could pretty much call anyone anywhere at any time. And for this reduced price, you also had the extra blessing of not receiving a whole bunch of junk and spam calls about your car warranties. And so Dr. Fay gave a quarter to his son, and he said, "Son, I want you to know that I am with you. I'm just a phone call away, and if you ever need me, then pull this out." The son puts it in his wallet, and he goes on about his life. He makes some good choices. He makes some bad choices. The father and the son, they continue to walk through this decision-making process. And the father is wanting to continue to let the son recognize that he is a part of his life, but the son is now going to be making his choices in the future. There was a big school event that was happening at the country club. Maybe it was the prom, I'm not for sure, but the son wanted to go with a couple of other friends and their dates. One guy had a nice convertible, and so it was going to be a great little party. As these three couples scrunched into this old classic convertible, drove to the country club and enjoyed the party. Things went well until they started not to. They were living out in Colorado, up in the mountains. And as the party happens, as the school event takes place, a couple of these couples slip off and they start to drink. Dr. Fay's son was now faced with the choice of being cool, going along, hanging out, or making a tough call to his father. As he's wrestling with this peer pressure, as this moment of life, Dr. Fay says, "I was at home, unaware of all the things that were going on in my son's life. But my son was there, and because he knew that with this quarter, I was always with him." His son peels away from the crowd, sheepishly calls his father and says, "Dad, me and so, we need a ride home tonight." The dad gets up, comes and picks up the son. The other couples continue on in their events. And the story is told that a few short minutes later, after being a little bit intoxicated, can you say it that way? A little bit intoxicated? Going through the curvy, high mountain roads of Colorado, that convertible lost control and went over the edge. And all four of those students lost their life. And Dr. Fay counts that moment with great sorrow, but great joy as well. Because in his son's heart was the knowledge that his father was always with him. Brothers and sisters, our God has first loved us while we were sinners, while we didn't even recognize who he is or what he has done. Our Father has called us to be redeemed and be made new. It is only ignorance and arrogance that we would remain in that place. There's a current song, country song, that says, "I don't know much more than John 3:16, or I can't quote that. But I'm just sitting here drinking a beer, talking God, amen." Maybe you've heard that song. And if that's where you are when you first recognize God, then praise God, he is transforming your life from that moment. But if after years of knowing that our God is alive, you remain in a place in which you never crack open his word, you never invite his spirit to take more control, you never seek out a living God, then woe is you who continues to remain in a place that is so devoid of the power and the presence of an Almighty when He calls you into an intimate relationship. This morning, as we get an opportunity, not to live in a life that is destined for destruction, but to live in a life where we are free from the condemnation, where we get to be a light in this dark world, because He is in us. What a wonderful news to spread. Our God is alive. Our office is open. Our elders are standing by. If you would like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you would like to be baptized into His death, raised with His resurrection to have a hope of new life, if you would like your sins washed away, if you would like to start over in this life and be redeemed and remade, our baptistry is open and ready. If you would like to restore your life, to be fully living in Christ, there's no better time than to be surrounded by fellow brothers and sisters who will celebrate and rejoice in this life transformation. The time is now. Let us celebrate and worship our Heavenly Father. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take my life. May